Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved, cast out demons, and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com. You may also donate by sending check or money order to 9030 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 665, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. We thank you.
Are you ready?
Ready to take a ride.
Grab your coffee
and strap yourself in.
If you listen, I can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Let's do a sound check. Brother Tom.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, praise the Lord. Major Tom, how are you doing?
Amen.
Okay,
I'm doing
fantastic.
Well, thank you.
We're right on time. Gentlemen.
5 by 5.
You're sounding great. Would you like to open us up in prayer?
Okay, yes, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our God, being the God of the universe.
Your show will go live in 5 seconds.
Ask
4,
that you
3, 2,
lead
1.
Us, guide us,
Blog Talk
and refresh
Radio.
Us, protect us, deliver us from evil and from harm. Protect us from evil and from harm, we ask, O God. As these days rush upon us, with evil in them. For you are God. You are our God, and you are the one that we rely upon. No torture, no incantation, no evil design can separate us from you.
Yeah.
No one can take us from your power or your hand. We rely upon you as our shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I say amen.
Amen
to that. Gentlemen, an honor to be with you today. Folks, this is a live show Monday, August 8, 2022. And we'll get started. We've got this hour together, so take it away.
Yeah. It's too bad the people can't see my little background here.
Well, I think it's pretty cool. Please forgive me. I was going to test out StreamYard with you today, but we'll definitely set that up for next show if you'd like to.
Okay. Well, maybe we ought to do a late night show and get all the bugs worked out so that...
Let's do it.
...when we do prime time. Okay. And, but they can see my thing. I snatched it from an old Quatermass movie.
I like it. Like that rocket.
Yes. Yeah. I'm seeing it for the first time.
I wish we had
also
a rocket like that now. Because what that rocket ended up doing at the end of the movie was destroying a 1950s version of the COVID plague.
Hmm.
That's right. We'd aim it right at ground zero, wherever that is, and just take it out.
Well, it happened to be an asteroid. And the second stage of the rocket was happened to be have a nuclear bomb on it. And so they fly off on the third stage and then detonate the second stage. That's pretty creative for the 1950s.
Yeah, it is.
Sometimes I think we need to listen to our elders a lot more than we do. I'm looking here at a quote here, slide 3.
Oh, yes.
From Frederick the Great. Little men's try to defend everything at once, but sensible people look at the main point only. They parry the worst blows and stand a little hurt if thereby they avoid a greater one. If you try to hold everything, you hold nothing. And yet, that's what the Ukraine's been trying to do all along. They're trying to hold everything, and they end up... And Colonel McGregor quoted Frederick the Great, so I looked that up and brought it today.
Yeah, you know, what really puzzles me is the knowledge that it is not the Ukrainians that are designing the tactics or the strategy, but it is United States and Great Britain. And certainly the military realm has access to education.
I would think so.
And would not be doing what they're doing right now, but they are conducting a strategic war on a kindergarten level. Literally. With no understanding whatsoever of strategy, and very little in tactics, or nothing in tactics. To send in troops that are only trained 3 weeks, they barely know how to put their pants on, let alone fight.
They probably haven't handled that rifle very much.
Oh, have no, none at all. Because their society is not one that has weapons or even condones use of weapons on a personal basis. They have no Second Amendment there, obviously. But when you politicize the military, you get stupid, and there's no cure for stupid.
And here, we got number 4 here is a good example of this. They have been bragging up and down about these HIMARS systems, how they can fire 16 missiles in one shot. But you look over here at the Russian 9A53S Tornado. It lobs 48 missiles. And the missiles are bigger.
And they go farther. Yeah.
You know, we have got to stop deceiving ourselves about what is going on there. We've known from the very beginning, after what Russia was able to do to Nazi Germany, what they were capable of. I know they didn't perform well in World War I, but in all fairness, the German generals in World War I were top-notch military students for the most part. And they knew how to command armies. It took the Russians a while to learn that. But by the end, you had Marshal Zhukov, I can't remember the other guy, who were turned out to be master strategists. And they learned how to do flanking movements to surround troops. And that's what they're doing right now to the Ukrainians. Time in and time out. They just surround them and massacre them. Or let them surrender.
They continue
that they are doing that.
That's right. Because by surrounding the units, they cut off all the resupply. And eventually the units will not have any more ammunition left if they have any to begin with. And so you have them at your mercy. That's why most armies don't want to be surrounded,
no,
except for the airborne. But the airborne do that because they are looking at a temporary situation.
And they expect that somebody's going to support them.
Yeah, and they're never too far away from being linked up with a main force, except in the case of the Battle of the Bridge Too Far in World War II.
Yeah. Market Garden was the name of that.
That's right. Yep.
And we lost our entire 82nd Airborne in that thing. Of course, we didn't listen when we were told that at Arnhem in Holland, there was a panzer division there resting. And we're going to drop troops on top of them? I don't care how good your main force is. They're not going to get them protected in time. You're going to end up losing them all. But that was, again, a plan of General Montgomery's. And he had the right idea, but panzer divisions are still panzer divisions, and they're significant.
Yeah, especially when they have trained together for a decade to hone their skills, because it takes that long to put a fighting force together.
Yeah.
If you really want to be serious.
You got to get those guys working together, communicating, and even getting to the point where they can do things and they don't have to communicate because they know.
Exactly.
And football teams are the same way. In fact, a lot of football players will tell you that if you have to think about what you're doing, you've already lost.
Yep.
And I'm afraid that's what's gone wrong with the Western militaries trying to help Ukraine, is they're thinking too much and they're not understanding that if you don't have trained troops to begin with, I don't care how many little toys you give them, it's never going to work out. Now, suddenly our HIMARS, apparently one of them actually got sold to the Russians. So now the Russians are reverse engineering it to see if they can make their Tornado better.
Well, two things, actually. One, they apply what they find to the Tornado, but the other is, by studying it, they now know how to defeat its trajectory, because it has a particular trajectory that it's going to be using, and they now know how to detect that and defeat it.
Yeah, and they can send missiles right in there to get rid of it.
That's exactly right. Yeah, not only do they destroy the missile that was sent by the HIMARS, but they destroy the launcher itself and the crew. Even though it's been rumored, I only say rumored, but it's a fairly reliable rumor, that not only are we selecting the targets for the HIMARS, but the crews are, in fact, under direct supervision, and in some, they are directly operating the HIMARS by U.S. soldiers.
And that would be an act of war.
Yeah, if they ever get evidence enough for the proof of that rumor, it would be another stage altogether of
because they've been taking a lot of evidence into the UN already. The evidence that they found of all the bio labs.
Yeah. Well, now we have several really war crime incidents that appear to be done by the Ukrainians, but they were done by the use of the HIMARS, and we know that every mission that is used by the Ukrainians or whoever the crew is has to first be sanctioned and authorized by a United States military official. You know what that means? When they shot, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I'm shaking my head.
Okay. The destruction of the POWs in the POW camp was deliberately planned and accomplished. In that particular case, the Ukrainians knew exactly which barracks to target because they knew where they were. And they took out over 70 prisoners who were witnesses and going to be witnesses for war crimes trials against the Ukrainian leadership. And of course, now they're dead, so they can't testify. But even striking a POW camp is a war crime to begin with, and later in an investigation, which will show this, that it was sanctioned and authorized by the highest level of United States leadership, politically and militarily. So they have, if it can ever be enforced, the danger of being tried and executed for war crimes. That means the president, that means the secretary of defense, that means chief of staff of the military, U.S. military, for starters.
All the way down.
That's right.
We may find ourselves having to rebuild our military, some of these retired guys that
if we ever survive long enough to have a military left, the entire upper ranks from full colonel on up, every one of them has to be replaced anyway because they are all politically selected. If you are not from the politically approved.
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. Philosophy and mindset, you will not get promoted to those ranks. The Army, all of the war colleges are selecting only those officers to go through the war college that are approved by the political elite. The neocon party, I can't say party, it's a branch of individuals that almost all of the bureaucrats and all the three-letter agencies are of that particular persuasion. And that whole tier has to be totally eliminated. Well, I don't mean eliminated by killing them, but by retiring them out, new individuals. And it's going to take a while if we ever have a chance to do that. I think that the Lord will come before that happens, actually. Yeah, really. It's spoken of in George Washington's
vision. Which is on your website, by the way.
That's correct. That the Third War is the most grievous war, the most dangerous war, because it's one that is in jeopardy of losing the entire nation. And it is going to take the intervention, supernatural intervention of the angels of God coming in the trenches and beside the warriors that are still fighting for the Constitutional Republic. I make that very specific. It's not for the other side. It's for the Constitutional Republic. Whoever's left, along with the supernatural angels from God, will push the enemy off the shores of our land. And at that point in time, Jesus himself will be in charge of the United States itself. We will become, instead of being just a divine appointed constitutional republic, we will become a theocratic nation led by none other than the Son of God himself, as will all the other nations, by the way, but particularly ours. Which brings us to the overall scenario that we're watching right now. You noticed how we have...
we had Nancy Pelosi making her trip.
Well, we have that too. But before we get to Nancy, let's review what happened in Ukraine. We bullied Russia. We were about to have a genocide attack against the eastern Ukrainians because
they're Russian-speaking people.
And 24 hours before that line of departure time for that genocide, President Putin intervened. And we don't have the actual documents of the intelligence he was looking at, but we know that he was aware of that particular planned genocide 3 months before, or 4 months actually, I think maybe even probably longer, but at least 3 months before. And he was well aware of the details of when it was going to happen, so that he preemptively, really what we're seeing is a preemptive strike to protect the people, the Russian people of Ukraine, by Russia itself. Now, so we as the Western powers, led by United States, and those handlers of Biden himself can't remember when he tied his shoes last, but his handlers that are the neocons, and they are the ones responsible for the bullying of Russia. Then when the conflict began, they were the ones that initiated and promoted, along with the military and those neocons in the military, because that's what they are, and devised this emotional reaction, decisions made by emotions, DME. And you can put a U in there and say dumb. But they ended up immediately proclaiming sanctions against Russia, thinking that that would destabilize Russia and we could go in and piecemeal take things apart and it would be a piece of cake. How good of a piece of cake has it been so far? How does this analysis that was a non-entity, it did not even exist. All that existed was an angry reaction to, let's get them back. We can do it because we're all powerful. We're the global power of the world. We're undefeatable. Well, that's a bunch of hooey if there ever was one. Remember what the scripture says. Pride comes
before a fall.
A fall. and a haunting spirit. And I, every one of those, these blooming idiots is very, very arrogant. Now, I'm being rather blunt about this, but it's exactly what it is. And that brings destruction. Unfortunately, it's you and I that have to face the destruction that these guys precipitate. Now, with this going on, we see the results in Europe, in Great Britain, and in our own country, that we, in fact, ended up having a boomerang. We are the ones that are now being almost destroyed by our own words, by our own actions. It could really easily, our dilemma, our shortfalls of food and energy could quickly be resolved simply by lifting the sanctions and eating humble pie. But there's no one in leadership, in the elite, that knows anything about being humble, that knows anything about a logical analysis of something. All they know is how to operate on emotion, emotion, emotion. Now, we come along with Taiwan as a diversion. There's two things that are, two main things that are involved in this. One is that our economy is really faltering, and how do you get out of an economy? How did Germany get out of it in World War I and World War II?
Yeah, we got a little list here we'll go over in a few minutes.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because it's a process of declaring war and conducting a war. Now, we feel that we can then dig ourselves out of the hole when, in fact, we will end up digging ourselves in a hole if we ever try that with Taiwan. Because China is not Russia. Russia is the one that initiated the hostilities as far as the first shot being fired, but they're not the ones that initiated the actual precipitation of the conflict. That took place 10 years before by us. Now, we have the same thing going on with Taiwan. I remember as a young officer, actually as a young college student, before I even entered into service, that Taiwan was an independent nation recognized as such by United States and by several of the Western powers at that point in time, to include Great Britain. When we ended up opening up our trade with China and China opening up to us, we then signed the accord that agreed that there was only one China, there weren't two Chinas. And so the Republic of China then ceased to exist internationally, and we still have that as our stated and official.
They call it a one-China policy.
A one-China policy that we haven't followed for the last 10 years. We have done everything, every presidential administration has continuously, there has been no break since the last time that the Republic of China was in existence. When they became non-existent, we still treated them as though they were. And we're still doing it today. Now, here we have Nancy Pelosi. Well, first of all, our particular administration for the last 18 months to 2 years has intensely been pursuing Taiwan as an independent nation. to the point that they've they're pretty much hollowing out by our actions anything that resembles a one China policy at all. They knew that the red line was that if any administrative individual, the Secretary of State or the President or the Vice President in the executive branch, visited Taiwan in support of the current democratically elected separatist party, that would be grounds for war by China. They have blatantly stated that, very firmly and very clearly stated that to us in no uncertain terms, not in diplomatic terms, but in no uncertain terms. So they knew they couldn't do that. So what did they do? They said, hey, Nancy, you got a lot of ties here with your family, as do I. This is Joe Biden family, by the way. He too, with China. Why don't you go over as the Speaker of the House? It's not an official, in our eyes, it's not an official representation of our government, but it's high enough up that it's going to look like it. Well, they knew China hasn't been fooled for the last 10 years. They know exactly what we've been doing. And they knew that as soon as Nancy Pelosi even mentioned, as though it were leaked, and it was purposely leaked so that China would know that it's the third in line to be the President of the United States if anything should happen to the President or the Vice President. And she then becomes the kingpin to go over, and we know how her mouth loves to work in denigrating other people and looking down upon them, to include the Chinese, especially the Chinese. And this is an attitude that's been clear to the Chinese for a long time, for at least 10 years, and maybe more longer, probably 50 years. We've never treated the Chinese as equals. We've never treated them as with respect.
Well, we've carried that attitude over from Great Britain. I mean, yes, look exactly. At the Boxer Rebellion.
Exactly, the same thing.
And how they tried to control China at one time.
Yep.
But eventually it just got too much, and suddenly all they had left was Hong Kong. And they had to give that up in, what, 1999?
Exactly. So
in
now
fact, we have to understand this history of China. We actually sent American troops to China during World War II. In fact, American soldiers will tell you, if you got sent to China, you had screwed up during training. And so that was your punishment. You got to go to China. And that was one of the few places where the odds were against you when you went. But then after World War II was over, Chiang Kai-shek and Mao Zedong, I never can get that quite right, got into a civil war with a numerous number of warlords. That's part of the story we don't get told. Was the winner was the one who could get the most warlords working for him.
Exactly.
Of course, with Mao Zedong, if the warlords didn't play ball, he shot them. In fact, Mao Zedong might well be the biggest killer in human history.
Yeah.
And
there's at least 50 million people are dead because of him.
And again, it's sort of a toss-up between Stalin and Mao Zedong.
Yep.
But what happened, Chiang Kai-shek lost and So he escaped to Formosa, which was a Japanese base during World War II. In fact, that's one of the first things they took after they got Manchuria, was they used Taiwan for a base to attack the rest of China.
Exactly.
And were surprisingly good at it. And
well, it was the unsinkable aircraft carrier for Japan.
Yes, that's an interesting way to put that. It's an unsinkable aircraft carrier. I think nothing short of a Tesla earthquake machine could have ended that.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know about that. I would have to. But what happens, suddenly you have mainland China on one side, Chiang Kai-shek on the other. But over the years, something people don't realize is that the party of Chiang Kai-shek is slowly getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Till any time there's an election in Taiwan, there's another party that favors joining up with China and being one country.
And well, actually, right now, the Kuomintang party of Chiang Kai-shek actually now is one of the leading parties that is for reunification with China. And it is the progressives that are actually the ones that are they're 2 points ahead. That's 2 voting points ahead in their power. Parliamentary power of the Kuomintang party, and the progressives are the ones that are the independents right now, and the Kuomintang and the others are now for reunification. And it's interesting that because of what Nancy Pelosi did in giving her platitudes and support, it became, as far as the Chinese were concerned, the official declaration of our country to them. And we can tell that how much it offended them and how seriously they take these matters, because of look at the reaction that's right now occurring in this quote temporary unquote blockade of Taiwan. By the way, it's not temporary anymore. We found out today that it's going to be an ongoing, periodic, frequent exercise. And they're using, as a minimum, the surface forces that are involved in it are 250,000 Chinese soldiers right on the opposite shore of Taiwan right now. They are firing rockets into just short of the harbors that are facing China, and they're shooting rockets over Formosa to the far side, landing just beyond the ports on the eastern side of Formosa. So there's no way that any maritime vessel will want to go into them while they're having these exercises. These are real, live explosives going on right now. And the Chinese have not hidden anything. They have openly said this is a dress rehearsal for conducting the military exercises prior to and including an invasion of Formosa.
Yeah, except, there's a lot of Chinese in that mix who don't want to be the next Ukraine.
Exactly. They see that, and they're becoming very, very streetwise to begin with. Particularly in the leadership area of Taiwan, they can see the writing on the wall. They know that the United States will fold and crumble. Essentially, we're smaller than a paper tiger, by the way. We're paper, but we're not a tiger. And yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because the other thing that's important in this trip is where Nancy Pelosi went. She went to a very new chip plant. They're doing 2 nanometer chips in this plant. Fastest chips we've ever seen. Her husband owns a significant interest in that. And by the way, you can own it too. NVIDIA is running this plant because NVIDIA is the biggest graphics manufacturer. In fact, the graphics card in my computer is an NVIDIA. In fact, the last 3 graphics cards I've had in computers have been NVIDIA. My son runs of NVIDIA and his. They're pretty much the predominant chip maker in the world. And
that's right.
And they are slowly getting to the next level. But one thing to remember, Taiwan's semiconductor market is 80 to 90% of the chip market in the world. If China cuts this off, we're in a lot of trouble. Especially if we decide we're going to go into a war. Let's go into these points here.
Yes.
On slide 8.
Okay.
We have in this country 2 factions. One that wants to go to war because they think it's the only way to dig out of this depression. And yes, behind the scenes, they call it a depression. You know, the politicians tell us, oh, no, it's not one. We heard Biden say it the other day, and nobody believes him because, as you said, he can't remember when he last tied his shoes. And that's assuming he's tying his own shoes. But we know that U.S. dollar is very close to a collapse. There is no way. We just keep printing them and printing them and printing them. And you just can't keep doing that without creating economic value to go with that money. And so the socialist wing of our Congress has decided the only way to solve this thing is to go to war. And they see China and Russia as economic threats. As does Klaus Schwab and his crew. And so does George Soros.
Mm-hmm.
And George Soros' family. I think George is starting to get a little bit up there in age to where his kids are doing most of it now. But they still use the name because it still means something. But the trouble is, if we're going to play this war game, it's going to turn out for us as it did for Nazi Germany, as it did for Imperial Germany in World War I. World War I, the more I've studied it, the more I've reviewed the circumstances, they could have avoided World War I. Mm-hmm. But There was a political wing run by the Rothschilds who wanted a war. In fact, they want 3 wars because they see that as how they can come into power and rule the world. So that's the force. And right now, Schwab, who's being run by the royal families, in fact, when the World Economic Forum started, who was the... Oh, it was the Prince of Austria that gave the opening speech.
Mm-hmm.
We know who's running it and where Claus is getting his money. But the thing is, war is not the answer. War is never the answer. It only gets a lot of people killed and a lot of resources are destroyed for nothing. And the thing that has to be impressed upon with these people is that the West is ill-prepared for any war. Look at what's happened in the Ukraine. We find out Russia and China have weapon systems that are years ahead of what we have in the West. And making things worse, we sent all our arms to Ukraine, which in turn now we're finding out, thanks to CBS, CNN, and others, that they're selling 70% of them off into the black market. Or as we found out in one case, they just sold them to the Russians. So now we don't have any more secrets. Russians have already hacked most of our military systems, so they know exactly what we're going to do. So we need to go through and rewrite our doctrine. And the other thing we don't have is we don't have the raw materials available to maintain a sustained war. We capped all our wells. Because we're going to do it all on electricity. Well, how do you get electricity? Probably 70% of it in this country is done with oil, with heating oil. That sometimes these guys don't think things through. And the other thing that is very important, we talked about it a few weeks ago, and I would suggest people look up Colonel Bearden's talk and listen to him again. He warned about EMF technologies or electromagnetic force, which literally can render all weapon systems in the West useless. And they can do it within an hour of the war starting.
Yeah.
That means, and you know what that means.
Yep.
They can take out anything.
That's right. Any nuclear explosion at 130 miles altitude above the Earth will take out the entire country of United States, lower 48, just like that. And they've got enough of those that they can take out the lower 48, Canada, Alaska, and then any other place they want to target as well. Just like that.
And it's just, if you have hypersonic missiles, they also can take out aircraft carriers within hours.
Yeah,
that's right. Suddenly, we don't have any... We don't have any aircraft. We don't have any have control of the skies. They do. Because we haven't spent the time to get our own hypersonic missile. We tried a few weeks ago and it blew up on the launch pad.
Yeah. The other problem we have is not only is their technology ahead of ours, but their logistics of that technology, the manufacturing base is there. They have the largest manufacturing base in the world. We have dismantled our manufacturing base and rely on everybody else to piecemeal and give us what we need. Well, now it's going to come around to bite us because we don't have a manufacturing base that could even generate the amount of artillery shells that Russia is using per day. They're right now firing off 6,000 to 7,000, about 6,500 artillery shells, 105 and 155, between 105 and 155 millimeter
shells
every day. We don't even have enough in our war reserves to help if we were to fire that much per day to last us.
More than a couple of weeks.
More than a couple of weeks, and at the most, not even 6 months for sure. And if you're going to generate a manufacturing base, how long is it going to take to do that? Look at how long it took for us to generate our war materials for the Second World War. We got our first heads up alert in December of 1941. We did not invade Europe until June of 1944. So we had 3 years it took for our nation to mobilize and to produce enough that we could sustain a major war with a peer that was the same size as us. And that's what we're looking at. We're not looking at these little podunk places that are third world countries that have no air power. And once you don't have the air power, and we would not have the air power, right, or air superiority, we would lose that immediately because we don't have the capability to replace that they would shoot out of the sky.
And even worse, we wouldn't have we couldn't build the manufacturing capabilities to restore that.
No, you can't. It's an axiom in warfare that's taught all the way down to the captain level, at least in the infantry. And one of the axiom is, after 3 days, the name of the game is logistics, logistics, logistics. And if you don't have a pipeline organization set up to operate efficiently, and if you don't have anything to put in that pipeline, you're sunk. And we do not have that. Neither does Europe. Neither does Great Britain. None of the Western powers have anything compared to the manufacturing and the logistic organization that China has and that Russia has.
No question
about
it.
If we think, because we are a major maritime power, if we think we can take our ships and go over there and attack China, the Chinese will very pleasantly oblige us to bring our ships over there so they can sink them, period.
Did you see how fast the Russian ships were being sunk with a couple missiles?
Exactly.
All these ships are vulnerable. Also the helicopters, they were getting just blown out of the sky. We're in some serious trouble. America is going to be humbled as a nation. I'm not talking about individuals that are humbling themselves before God right now. When I just got a text that President Trump is being raided by the FBI at his Mar-a-Lago house, I knew it was coming. I knew they were going to send people in there. And I sure want to let people know, if they can raid President Trump's house, who is safe out there? The Communist Chinese Party, the globalists, they have taken over our government. And there's no excuse for what they're doing. They're systematically dismantling our freedom. That's what's happening, gentlemen.
Exactly. And if we think we can disembark and land on the shores of China, whatever group of soldiers, be it a million men, would immediately be annihilated.
Absolutely.
Because they have 200 million men in their army.
That's a low estimate these days.
Yeah. So what's 1 million to them?
Oh, shoot. Listen, they have so many nukes. We're sitting ducks, especially the administration we've got right now. And as you mentioned, EMP burst knocks out the whole grid. And you want an electric car? You'll never be going anywhere again. It's going to fry all the components. We know, of course, what EMP will do to everything. But they're going to hit us like that. That's what Henry Groover saw. The Red Dawn invasion is coming. This country's in some serious trouble. It's not going to be saved, gentlemen, but individuals can be saved. And if you're still in California, you've lost your mind. You need to get the hell out of those blue states out there. They're threatening lockdowns again. They're run out of water. Have you seen the riots going on in Panama? Heard that by the end of the month, they will have no more rice? They're rationing everything. People can't get food, gas, according to reports. That's in Panama. I lived there for 2 years.
Well, let's go look at the next slide here. Number 11. We have six major country leaders who have resigned. We add Bulgaria's prime minister to the list. And Ruman Radev. So we've got Kallas in Estonia, Mario Draghi in Italy, Rajapaksa in Sri Lanka, Bennett in Israel, Boris Johnson in Great Britain, Radev. And we've been hearing for weeks that Olaf Scholz, and I know I was being a little funny, but Olaf Scholz is not Sergeant Scholz. Let's try to remember that. And Emmanuel Macron is effectively neutered as a prime minister in France because his party doesn't control anything. They're in a lot of trouble. I don't know why Macron stays on. And then here we go to
ego and pride.
Yeah. And then we go to Great Britain, and we're looking at two people running to replace Boris Johnson. Liz Truss, and she has already said she would take British troops to Ukraine, and she'd teach those Russians a lesson. I think the only one's going to learn a lesson is Liz. And then the other guy is a man from India, Rishi Sunak. I couldn't believe it. Both of them have a YouTube channel along with websites. So if you want to listen to their rhetoric, and neither one of them impresses me. I think the only one that I thought had any kind of help was Tom Tugendhat, but he was out of it pretty quickly.
Gentlemen, 5-minute warning. Wrap up your comments and give out your contact info. And I want to say one more thing before you do. Everything that President Trump has been accused of, Hillary, Obama, Pelosi, and their cabal actually carried out, and they're blaming him for.
Yep.
All these are false charges. Right out of the pits of hell. I don't agree with any of them that they've leveled against him. This whole January 6th coup, this was all staged by the Democrats. They told the Capitol Police to stand down. This is all BS. And I'm here to tell you, it's not going to stand. If they're raiding President Trump's house in real time in Mar-a-Lago, and I knew that they were going to do that, I hope he left them nothing, because they would go in there. They'll take everything, all your computers, all your documents, and they're doing it with pleasure. These are jackbooted Gestapo. I'm ashamed of the FBI. And my stepfather's father, Chuck Thomas, was a retired with the FBI, hired during Hoover's days. Actually, you have to shake Hoover's hand as part of the process, and if you had sweaty palms, Hoover wouldn't hire you. But Chuck Thomas was a field agent, special agent in charge of the Los Angeles office, ran Las Vegas, prosecuted on the Jimmy Hoffa case. He was a real man of honor. I know what the real FBI once was. This stuff today is laughable. It's all compromised. I've got no faith in the system anymore. It's rotten to the core. It's going to come down. They're executing a search warrant based on fake charges down at Mar-a-Lago. Folks, nobody's off limits.
I just got a text a minute ago that Trump wasn't anywhere to be found.
False charges here, folks. If they can go after President Trump, this is unparalleled. They can create any false charge and go after you and I. The only hope we got is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not afraid. And I will speak out. But the bottom line is this just stinks. And if you're not angry about it, I don't know what to say out there. If you really think Trump was culpable, you got problems. You've been watching CNN for too long. Are you kidding me? You think you're getting any real news out of any of these networks? It's all BS. Makes me angry, gentlemen. And I'm angry at what they call the FBI today. Look at all the crooked people Trump rooted out. This just makes me sick. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't think they'll come for you or I, they'll do it. I'm not afraid of them. I've been in a jail cell before. I'm not afraid of it. Praise God, the Lord set me free, but I got to see the inside of the system. Everybody should spend 3 days in an orange jumpsuit. Praise the Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us? But this is just sick. And this is part of a dismantling of our freedoms. They're going after everything, folks. It's not by accident. All the shortages. They're going to crash the system next. And if God doesn't intervene, we're in some serious trouble. And I don't think we're going to see a reprieve. I'm sorry to say that, but I think we're just barreling down into the tribulation. Gentlemen, give out your contact information. I'm sorry.
Yes, this is Tom Baird, Major Retired, and you can reach me at my website, aliveontheedge.com. Do not put www in it. Just put aliveontheedge.com. And my email is tom@aliveontheedge.com. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes. My email address is tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org. My main website, whitestonefoundation.org. And we just put up biblemusic.live. And also, we will be putting up some new music real soon, so keep biblecodes.co, antichristwatch.org. We have a bunch of them. I need to put that at the end of one of my PowerPoints again, a list of all the websites.
Amen.
And it's one of those things where, because I can design them myself, I do. And it means I have a lot of them. And hopefully next time we'll talk a little more about some of the success we're having with the Bible music.
I want to say one more thing. Trump made a deadly error trusting people who were recommended by others. And at the end, they all stabbed him in the back from Pence on down. And look at what is going on now. They're going after Lynn Wood. They're going after the Kraken. They went after Alex Jones, $50 million levied against
him. By the way, that $50 million is a CNN BS. Texas caps all punitive damages to $750,000.
Not saying it won't be disputed, of course, but that's what the judge said, right? So,
well, the thing is, the judge, it was a Soviet show trial is what it was. There are so many defects.
Well, agreed.
In that case, I actually got a chance to listen to a rather good legal analysis by attorneys who know what they're doing. And basically, they said this was a show trial, and that there were so many places where Alex Jones was not allowed to bring a defense to defend himself.
Well, that's my point. They're going after everybody trying to bankrupt him. Anybody involved with Trump. These communist globalists, whatever you want to call them, they have a vitriol against anybody who does not want to bow to their mandates. And this is sick. God's going to have to bring some justice. Ultimately, these people will see the lake of fire. I'm convinced of that. They don't repent. But here's the deal. We are seeing our nation implode. This is not by accident. It's by deliberate design. And these people want to turn America into a third world nation. That's what they're doing, folks. This is sickness. I never thought I would see this day. But everything they've accused Trump of, these people did. Pelosi, Clinton, the Democrats, Obama, Susan Rice. I think Obama is the real president right now. I don't know. But it's not Biden up there. He doesn't even know his middle name probably. I'm out of time. Walter Santos coming up next. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for coming on. One more time, your websites?
Aliveontheedge.com.
And aliveontheedge.com.
And then whitestonefoundation.org, biblecodes.co, biblemusic.live. We're all there.
Absolutely. And don't think for a minute that what's going on, God does not see out there. He's going to get these people. Judgment is coming. You think they're thriving? One day you're not going to even see them anymore. They've been plucked up. Hillary will be in the lake of fire if she doesn't repent. I hope she repents because she's headed that way. Obama will join her down there. Susan Rice. A whole lot
of them.
This maggot who's still up there running the FBI. He's been compromised from day one, and I'm going to stop right there because Walter's waiting on me. Gentlemen, God bless you. See you next time.
God bless you, too.
Thank you for having me.
You can tell I'm a little bit angry tonight, folks, at what's going on. This is appalling. I'm really angry. They would do this to President Trump. Dear God, have mercy. If there was ever a telecaution, it's this right here. Do not... trust your advisors unless you vetted them personally yourself. All these people making these statements under oath, they've lied. They're all lying through their teeth. I don't buy any of these charges against him.